to Ashburton. We're about ready to start now.
It's Political Commentary.
In the studio with me, David Slack. Good morning, David. Lovely to see you. Thanks for coming in.
Well, it was. And then Tess just completely brought us down with our reality check about politics in 2030.
What was that all about?
It's just looking a bit grim at the moment. But
according to one guest on Ready, Steady, Learn.
Okay.
University fella.
No. I was just saying, you know, the state of things are a bit... Anyway, I'll let you go.
You're not wrong. You're not wrong about any of it. That's the dismaying thing. But listeners, we're...
David Slack, discuss. So let's talk internationally first, because I think it's just spinning in the craziest place. Again, who could have predicted any of this going on? Who could have predicted that you just rock into England? We're talking Donald Trump, of course, the elected president of the United States of America, should you believe that?
Elected.
This is the thing. And so he goes in, he does a little visit to, what was great, it was being away from the radio and just waking up and going, wow, look how many hundreds of thousands. Fair enough, it was actually a very, very pleasant day in the United Kingdom, particularly, you know, but thousands and hundreds and hundreds of thousands of people going, get out.
Yeah.
Yuck.
On they come.
And not just we don't like you, it was like, yeah, so the best slogans I've ever seen on placards. The English do the best placards ever. You know, and so there's just an untold great sort of angles on the problem, you know, and especially
that's bearing in mind that most people don't care that much about politics. People like us get really, really animated about it, but a lot of people see it as about as interesting as their favourite sports team. No, that's the wrong way to put it too. Not as much as that, but just occasionally they'll get more engaged. But something like this guy really does animate everybody. Mm. And what does that tell you?
And that's a lot of people to go out and just stand around on the street making a cacophony of noise, you know. So that happens after the day after he says, I think they're over there, I'm a genius and they all love me and they really like me. Thousands of people love me over there sort of thing. And then he disses Theresa May and her politics.
Well, the
moments before he has to go up and shake her hand and hang out with her for a day.
The Queen of England actually wore a brooch given to her by Barack Obama while he was there.
And it's a snowflake.
Yeah.
It's so beautiful.
That's not a message.
Yeah. She's just probably great. I mean, does she think...
Quiet Shade.
Yeah. Do you think Quiet Shade? You think Lizzie Quiet Shade?
Oh, absolutely.
Okay. And so he goes in there, and what do you think?
And then, of course, NATO, he completely throws shit around the room with NATO, telling them that they're all deadbeats and they all have to spend a whole lot more money than they are, and that he's not sure that America should be there at all, which completely confounds all post-war thinking about how you preserve stability in Europe and all small questions like that. The guy's a complete imbecile, but that doesn't stop him from just charging ahead and saying all of this stuff because he knows that it plays to the base, which is essentially, oh, I don't get this. It doesn't seem right. I don't want a piece of it. It's as
I like his bullish attitude. I like he's a man who says what he thinks.
Yes.
Read into that what you will, you know.
Yeah, and quite often when people say he says what he thinks, they mean he just has a reflex reaction like mine, my gut reaction, which has processed nothing, contemplated nothing, recognized no complexity in the world at all. If it were that simple, it would be lovely, but it ain't.
And I think the more astute commentators that I was going to talk about it were the ones who said, well, Putin just must be sitting there going,
oh, man.
This is fun.
I thought the best meme of all was the one of them in their post-meeting press conference photo call where Trump's looking particularly kind of awkward and Putin has a big beam on his face and he says, tell them your name. And Trump says, my name is Reek. Just perfect.
I don't want to explain that one, but if you watch Game of Thrones,
reference, everybody.
Yeah. But so
all about humiliation, complete humiliation, and owning of another person so comprehensively that they have no will of their own.
Maybe there's a small bit of joy in watching a US president get owned, as opposed to watching the US presidency own the Australian prime minister or own our prime minister. You know, it's like, you know, it's like there's a little bit of joy there. But the but so and then on to Russia and what the dickens? The flip floppery there is insane, especially after being told by big grown up important people in the country that he represents that they very definitively found, which is amazing, very interesting timing too, that they definitively announced that maybe 3 days before he went to Russia.
12 Russian officers indicted for meddling in the US election. Very clear, Clark. Clear cut, no question
US
about
elections
it.
Where he
17
got elected,
US intelligence agencies all concluding, without really any doubt at all, that there was meddling on a wide and comprehensive scale in the election. And he is prepared to brazenly come out after a meeting with Putin saying, well, I've asked, and he says they haven't, and he said it very strongly, so I believe
things have never been better.
So how do you know what's right, and why is there not a re-election?
I know it's a really good question. This whole, when we have here in New Zealand malfeasance, when somebody is not lawfully elected, we tend to chuck them out. There's a court, there's court action, and at the end of it, they go home. Here, as you rightly say, if there is actual legal, if the outcome of the election was obtained unlawfully, what the hell happens then? You might argue that what happened in Watergate was kind of an outcome of that, that in the end the president was going to be impeached. He saw the vote, so he resigned before they could do that, because it was his culpability.
Trump couldn't give a toss about that, though.
Well, I know.
He'd be stoked with the publicity, wouldn't he?
The alternative is that they have a re-election anyway, and if he was legitimately elected, he'll get elected again, right?
Well, quite so.
Well, Not necessarily.
Of course,
I mean,
have the midterms, which is kind of one of their checks and balances that they have always used to assure you that some things can't come too far out of whack. And maybe that's what, at that point in that midterm election, you will get a vomiting up of what they've been asked to stomach for the last 2 years.
But on the other hand,
you've got all of this gerrymandering, which means that you won't necessarily get the outcome you're looking for.
For those people who don't know the political term gerrymandering, what does that mean?
It means that who can vote and where they can vote can be determined by a whole range of rules, state by state, county by county, that says the votes count in this way. This part is represented by one representative, this part by another, and you can draw the boundaries for that in such a way that you get an advantage to one party or the other, and a whole lot of that has been done.
Dave, is that democracy?
It's the thumb on the butcher's scale is what it is, Mikey. But here's the crucial statistic in all of this. That is that if you've been convicted in America, you can't vote again. And in America, 1 in 3 African-American males end up incarcerated. So what that means is they are disenfranchised on a huge scale. And it's actually structural imbalance in the whole system. And Jesus Christ.
See, Dave, isn't that racism?
Well, you might well say that, Mikey.
So this is, I mean, and but the problem also with so much, so many people on the left are so vocal, and this is something that the right, and for want of a better term, the alt-right, sort of just cash in on so beautifully, and have learnt to do so ever since, like right when Bush started fiddling elections right back in the old days, there is just let the left just holler and scream and become so insensitive. And then the right just go, look at them.
Yeah.
Unbelievable. We definitely need to build a wall now. You know, just whatever stupid idea they come up. And the problem is with that the two-party system that they're running over there, nobody wants to be the secondary party. So they're going, yeah, I mean, still we're in, we're still in.
You know, there is an argument. A friend of mine who grew up in America but has been here for about 20 years now makes, and he's given a lot of thought, and it's pretty persuasive, I've got to say. He maintains that at a certain size, it's very hard to hold a democracy together. And he thinks that it is that the US has grown too large and too fractured and has too much.
See, Dave, is that one of those things? Like you're saying that perhaps maybe there's not going to ever be a real democracy there.
well, you can only maybe have a real democracy again if you maybe disestablish it
holy
to some extent.
Hell.
Which, of course, is another way of maybe saying secession like they did in 1860, and oh my God, where did that take us?
Good Lord.
I don't know. But I can. It's a persuasive sort of argument. You know, you've got such a cleavage now between the coasts and the interior, and between the religious Bible Belt and the progressive cities of LA and New York.
And the properly informed and the improperly informed?
Well, you might say that.
But that's going to be a huge case. Like, whatever happens next election, I mean, the way that if you look at even just the Facebook jiggery pokery that was going on in the last one, you know, and what the average person is sort of soaking up information wise,
and pride,
and ignoring information wise, and you know,
people don't want to admit they're wrong. Nobody. I don't. You don't.
No.
She doesn't. And that means that if you voted for this dickhead, and you are seeing that you're now being pilloried for it, you want to be able to say, no, I was right. And you might, and I'm sure this is part of it, you might also be saying, well, I'm tired of you people telling me what to think. Here's a guy who's telling you you're all idiots, and I'm going to stay with this guy because my guy's sticking up for me just for once.
So we also find that there's been jiggery-pokery in the Brexit vote as well.
Yes, the Leave campaign massively overspent. So again, we're back to Tess's proposition. What happens when something is...
it's yours now.
So wise, that's right.
Democratic firebrand, Tess. Does that mean, having been unlawfully obtained, this result, should it be unwound? And the obvious answer is, yes, it bloody should, because it was so close anyway. What kind of mandate was that for any kind of change? When you have a referendum, usually you look for two-thirds or more, because you're thinking you want something approaching a general consensus to go forward. Here it was only just over 50%, and now we find only achieved because, arguably, they overspent vastly on the campaign. So two ways they can go now.
But if it goes, if everyone just takes it as read, that sort of thing, then it's all like buying a pair of jeans and one of the legs is sewn up. He sort of just go, whatever am I going to do? I guess I'll just have to walk around with one leg jammed into the sewn up half and then and hobble around like that, because that's just the way it all turned out. Surely you unpick it, wouldn't you, and fix it. Putting it into a tailoring terminology there, just for those people who couldn't figure out what to talk about.
Or dye it. My daughter has just walked in. She dyes things when they're not right.
I just made some really good chucks.
Yeah.
Like you liked them.
I'm not sure that I see the connection between the.
Have you try sewing up a leg of your jeans and walk around
don't
and
want
then
to.
Going?
Why
maybe,
would I do that to myself?
Well, this is the thing. Why would you overspend your vote?
Why wouldn't you just unsew the pair of jeans?
Here we go back to
unpick them.
This is how I'm saying it. See, why would you overspend in the electoral lead up and the whole campaign, knowing that there's a limit that you're supposed to, you know. It's like, why would you sew the leg?
It's almost as though
it was uncomfortable
I'm just trying to put it into a sort of a New Zealand wintry sort of analogy,
anyway,
you know?
I still think the best metaphor of the morning was the one you were reading to me before. What was that song we were listening to before when I came in?
Oh,
all about the
foxes.
The swallows and the scarves and the blood all over the snow.
Yeah. All right, so it turns out at the end of this conversation, David, that we have the best electoral system in the world that's not dodgy and seems to work at least better than those two.
Oh, Tauroa. Yeah.
Woo!
Hard out.
You just heard a bit of political commentary.